I bid you a good evening. Thank you for being here tonight. I know there's reasons that you could not be here this evening, but the fact you've chosen and made the effort to be here says a lot about you. And I appreciate you very much from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate that good prayer that Donnie led a few moments ago. I appreciate the thought and the wording of it, and I appreciate so much how well the songs have been led and sung here tonight. And I, once again, I've been encouraged by your presence. I hope you're encouraged by the presence of others as well this evening. I'd like to talk to us tonight about this idea of sins surrounding the cross. You know, there are a lot of sins that placed Jesus on the cross. It wasn't just one big thing, and they all weren't what the world would consider big sins in and of themselves. Matter of fact, there are sins and things that were surrounding the cross there that maybe you've not even thought about before. And what I want you to understand is that a lot of these will hit home. Some of these are in our backyard. We consider the things that put Jesus on the cross. I'd like for you to consider those here for just a few short moments, and then we'll continue on for our worship service this evening. The first thing that I want you to appreciate here this evening, one of the sins that surrounded the cross, was ignorance. Someone says, well, I didn't know that. I know, that's my point. Is a lot of folks don't understand that the idea of ignorance and not knowing was one of the things that put Jesus on the cross. Alan read so well a few moments ago from Acts 3, verse 14 through 18, as Peter there was talking to a bunch of Jews. And he says, now, brethren, I would not you understand that through ignorance you did it, and also your rulers. They crucified Jesus out of ignorance. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 7, that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained from the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. People did not know the scripture. They had not embellished themselves with the word of God, and they did not understand it. And because of that, Jesus Christ was crucified. You may recall, as Jesus was being nailed to the cross, he prayed to the Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Out of ignorance, people did these things. The sin of ignorance leads to many things. In the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul, you may recall, said, my heart's in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, I bear them record they have a zeal toward God, but not according to knowledge. And they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have went about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Ignorance put Jesus on the cross. And ignorance is going to cause many a soul to be lost. In the book of Hosea 4 and verse 6, you may recall that God there said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because people don't know. Because they don't know what God is and who God is and what God has said. It is because of that type of ignorance the Lord's church is destroyed and souls and homes and families are lost. And that's the reason why Paul would exhort, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ron reminded us here this morning or this afternoon that we're in week 51 of our Bible reading. We're going to begin a new year, Lord willing, in the next couple of weeks. That Bible reading is a wonderful, wonderful tool for you to be able to get into the Word of God, to understand, to know it, and to learn it. I exhort all of us to start anew in 2017. Peter said, as newborn babes, desire it. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. This evening, as you think about the cross and the sins that surround it, I want you to appreciate that one of the sins that put Jesus upon the cross was ignorance, but also greed. In Matthew 26 and verse 15, I read, and they said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him 30 pieces of silver. Jesus Christ was betrayed by one of his very own for 30 pieces of silver. Greed can overtake any one of us. It did Judas. Now listen. Judas followed Jesus for 3 years. He had heard his sermons. Judas left his family and other things behind to follow Jesus, but the Lord was not in his heart. It was in his pocket. And I want you to appreciate that we live in a world of plenty. And if we're not careful, we'll want what is ours. No wonder Jesus warned, "Beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist of the things which he possesses." The more affluent our society is, the more possibilities that each one of us, or any one of us, could be trapped with the idea of covetousness and greed, wanting ours, not getting our share, I've heard folks talk about. I've not got my share, and because of that, we wish to have more. And what I want you to appreciate, that greed put Jesus on the cross, 30 pieces of silver. In Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10, the wise man warned, "Whoever wishes to have silver will not be satisfied with silver, or he who wishes abundance with abundance." What I want you to understand that God warns you and I here this evening, if it is your intent to be rich, it is if your intent to have more of this world's goods, you'll never be satisfied. You'll never, ever have enough. John D. Rockefeller was one time asked, who had in the billions, especially when you consider inflation, billions and billions of dollars, and he was asked, "How much do you have to be happy?" And he said, "Just a little more." And isn't that the case? Just a little more. If I just had a little bit more, I know I'd be comfortable. If I just had a little bit more, I know that I'd be satisfied. And what I want you to appreciate, it was greed. It was that type of thinking that put Jesus on the cross. That's the reason why Paul would exhort in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For you brought nothing into the world, and it is certain you will carry nothing out. Therefore, with food and raiment, be content." Be content with the basic necessities of life. "For those who would be rich fall into snare and many temptations and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction. While some have coveted after," talking about money, he says, "the love of money is at the root of all kinds of evil. While some have coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many a sorrow." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to appreciate here this evening that it was greed that put Jesus on the cross. And one of the other sins here tonight I want you to see that surround the cross, and that was shame. That was fear of what others would have to say in regards to being a follower of Jesus. In Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 65, here's what the scripture tells us. "And some began to spit on him and cover his face and buffet him and say to him, 'Prophesy,' and the servants did strike him with the palms of the hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there come one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, 'And thou was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But he denied, saying, 'I know not, neither understand I what you're saying.' And he went out of the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to him that stood by, 'This is one of them.' And Peter denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, 'Surely, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, for thy speech betrayeth thee.' But he began to curse and to swear, saying, 'I know not this man of whom you're speaking.' And when the second time the cock crew, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said to him, 'That before the cock crew twice, you will deny me three times.' And when he thought thereon, he went out and wept bitterly." Fear, or being ashamed of our Lord, is a sin that surrounds the cross. And I want you to appreciate here this evening that it is something that each and every one of us can succumb to. You think about the times that folks have called upon you in regards to Jesus Christ. And I want you to appreciate each and every one of us need to cultivate that courage here tonight, that I'm going to stand with my Lord, not only the Lord, but the things that the Lord had to say. In the book of Mark in chapter 8 and verse 38, Jesus said, "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this generation, so shall the Son of Man be ashamed of before my Father." In Matthew 10 and verse 33, "If any man will deny me before men, I'll deny him before my Father which is in heaven." Now we live in a nation who many people will acknowledge the name of Jesus. And we might not be ashamed of that, but what I want you to appreciate is that you and I are called not to be ashamed of his words. Each and every one of us must stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes it. I asked a question here this evening as we close this day of service, as we begin a new week, as we close an old year. Who's going to stand this coming year with Jesus? Will you stand and acknowledge not only the name of Jesus, but the gospel of Jesus Christ himself? Fear, shame, even amongst Jesus' own, was a sin that surrounded the cross. But also I want you to appreciate that lies was one of the sins that surrounded the cross. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 56, where I read, many bore false witness against him, but their witnesses agreed not together. We live in a society of lies. At a company that I used to work for, our CSRs were taught how to lie. They were literally taught how it was to cover the company and then cover their own tracks in case they were caught by a customer. And what I want you to appreciate, that lies is just becoming interwoven with our society itself. Politicians lie about their tactics, policies, or their lies, and the news media write articles and report stories and made at their dexterity of their ability to avoid the truth. Rather than being concerned or rather than being outraged by lies, we are impressed by how well people lie. And what I want you to understand is that when we speak lie, we are never closer to the heart of the devil. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The devil is the father of lies. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. And when we speak a lie, we speak of our father, the devil. He says, your father is the devil because he was a murderer. They nailed Jesus to the cross. They did not believe the truth. They would not acknowledge the truth, and they would not speak the truth. And Jesus said, you're a liar. And I want you to appreciate here this evening, ladies and gentlemen, we live in the world today where lies, well, that's nothing to be ashamed of. We're not concerned. Everybody lies. Everybody lies about this. Everybody lies about that. And what I want you to understand here this evening, that lies is what put Jesus on the cross. A lie is what the devil came up with. The lie, he is the father of all lies. And we never look more like the devil or act more like the devil than when we are lying. No wonder the wise man says, there are six things the Lord hates. Yea, seven is an abomination to him. And one of those is lying. In the book of Ephesians 4:25, wherefore put away lying and let every man speak truth to his neighbor. Again, in Colossians 3 and verse 9, lie not one to another, since you put off the old man with his deeds. In Revelation 21 and verse 8 I read, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire that burneth forever. Today we speak of colors in regards to lies. Ah, that was just a little white lie. Well, I want you to understand that a lie is a lie. And the devil's the father of it. And as I think about here tonight, and I look at the cross, and I think of all the sins that surrounded it and put Jesus there, lie was one of them. You ever lie? Liars. I'll tell you something else to put Jesus on the cross and sin that surrounded it, and that was cowardice. In many ways, I kind of feel sorry for Pilate. On at least three or four occasions, Pilate tried to let Jesus go. But the Jews had his weakness. Governors of the Roman provinces were appointed either by Caesar or by the Senate. Pilate happened to be appointed by Caesar. And he was actually nominated by a guy named Secundinus. Secundinus was what we would think of as the modern day head of the Secret Service. He was the guys who guarded Caesar. Secundinus decided that he was going to kill Tiberius Caesar, and so he attempted to do that. Tiberius survived the coup. Secajanus did not. Pilate was appointed again by Secajanus. Someone said, boy, I hope that means something, but it does. Because in John chapter 19 and verse 12, the Jews understood this weakness. And it says, and from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. Jesus was attempted to be released by Pilate. But the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaks against Caesar. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought forth Jesus and sat him down in the judgment seat in the place called the pavement. Now on this occasion we learn through other gospels that he beats and he mocks and he scourges Jesus. And he is hoping that this is going to be enough. And it goes, he brings him out then, it says, to a place called the pavement. But in the Hebrew Golgotha, and it was a preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, he said unto the Jews, behold your king. But when they cried out, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate says, then shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered and said, we have no king but Caesar. Then deliver he to them, therefore unto him to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Pilate would not stand up to the Jews. He did not wish to have this type of accusation made by the Jews to Tiberius Caesar, to have him to be suspicious that maybe it is, that now Pilate is looking for another coup. And because of this, he attempted to let Jesus go, but they knew that he would be a coward, and he was, and he crucified the Lord of glory. The kingdom of God, ladies and gentlemen, is not for the cowardly. In the book of Matthew 25, verses 24 through 30, we have the story of the talents. And I read this in regards to the one talent man. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not strown. And I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the ground. Lo, there is what is thine. His Lord answered and said, thou wicked and lazy servant, you knew I reap where I sowed not. You know I gathered where I had not sown. You should have therefore have put my money to the bank or the exchangers, and then at my coming I should receive mine own with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to the man who has 10 talents. For unto every one who hath it shall be given, and he that has abundance, and he that shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What was the problem with the one talent man? He was afraid. He was a coward, and he would not step out. And Jesus here says he is a wicked and slothful servant. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, when we think about all that list of folks there who ends with all liars shall enter or shall have their part in the lake of fire, I want you to understand that that list starts with this. But the fearful, the cowardly shall also have their part in the lake of fire. I want you to understand that one of the sins that surround the cross was cowardice. And finally, I want you to see this. Envy was a sin that surrounded the cross. In the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 18, Matthew simply records that Pilate knew because of envy they had brought him. Envy has been the root of problems in generation to generation. In Acts chapter 7, verse 9, I read, and the patriarchs moved with envy, so Joseph into Egypt. In Acts 13 and verse 45, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken of by the Apostle Paul. Again, in Acts 17 and verse 5, but the Jews which believed not moved with envy and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company and set all the city in uproar and assaulted the house of Jason. I want you to appreciate here this evening, ladies and gentlemen, that envy is the root of all kinds of evil. James said in the book of James, chapter 3 and verse 16, that where there is envy, there is strife and confusion and every evil work. What put Jesus on the cross? Envy. Envy and jealousy. In Galatians 5 and verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Because of envy, people talk about each other. They fight with one another. They will not forgive one another. They attempt to hurt one another socially in other manners. And they will eventually kill one another because of envy. Jesus Christ was killed because of envy. Each and every one of us, ladies and gentlemen, if I was to go around the room here tonight and I'd come over here to Sharon and I need some of her grandchildren and I'd say, listen, I'll give you $1 million for one of your grandchildren. Never want to see it again, but I'll give you $1 million. You know what? Sharon wouldn't take that deal. Wouldn't take that deal. Wouldn't take it. I told Lou Ann, Elbert tonight, I'm going to give you $1 million, but your daughter's not coming home from West Lafayette. Wouldn't take it. What's my point? My point is this. We're all millionaires. Why are we jealous of one another? Envy put Jesus on the cross. It may not be sins that sometimes we think about that surround the cross, but I want you to think about this evening. Ignorance put Jesus on the cross. Are you guilty of ignorance? Do you know what you need to know? Greed put Jesus on the cross. Fear and shame put Jesus on the cross. Lies surround the cross. Cowardice surround the cross. And envy put Jesus on the cross. If we'll learn these lessons and put these things out of our life, beginning right now, then our time will have been spent here this evening very profitably. You listen well. I thank you very much for that. I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you. Maybe there's one in our audience who's not been obedient to the words of God. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You can do that tonight. Maybe it is you just need to pray for the congregation. Something here that we can do for you. We're here, ready, willing, and able to do that. We're going to sing this song to encourage you here tonight. Extend the Lord's invitation to you. Sing this song to encourage you. Subcommit in any way, come forward now as we stand if you sing.
I am resolved.